Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Yeah, for sure. And my kids are all kicking butt. Oh, my kids are all kicking butt, but most specifically in Texas. That's what I mean. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Can you tell it's Friday? Oh, because it is.
Just crawling toward the finish. I'm Molly Wood. It's Happy Hour Friday, also known as Economics on Tap. The live stream is up and running. The Discord is hopping. Thanks, everyone, joining, wherever you're finding us. It might be live. It might be on demand. Might be on YouTube.
Yeah.
But you're here, and that's what matters.
That's right. You can listen to us any way you want. This also is the day where we do our little game called Half Full, Half Empty. First, though, we do the news. But first, we check in on libations. I am having from Faction Brewing in Alameda, California, a Sabro Cyclone India Pale Ale. It's quite delicious. Thank you very much.
That's right around the corner from me.
I know.
It's so local.
I know.
I'll tell you the story.
Yeah. So last week, as we all know, was my birthday on Friday. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And beer showed up at the studio. Swear to God, case of beer.
Because everyone knows.
Literally with a card that says "Happy Birthday, Kai." No signature, no nothing. So if you sent me beer, thank you.
That's pretty awesome.
That's it. That's what I got.
I like that other people like me made sure to enter that in their calendar on a yearly recurring basis.
You did
per annum.
We're not going there.
Oh,
let us,
I did.
Let's move on,
yes.
Shall we?
Remind me every single year, Siri. I had said I might have a hot toddy if my son was still homesick.
Oh, yeah.
My son is still homesick, but it's 80 degrees, so I'm just having bourbon on ice.
Yeah, that's the smarter
No hot. No hot that's toddies today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 85.
I also am wearing, just because it's so useful, I shouldn't show it off because they're not, I don't think these are official merch yet, but Satara on her way out was nice enough to have t-shirts made for us for the staff.
Look at you.
So I have my little
awesome
How We Survive launch shirt on today.
That is awesome.
I know. When I went to CVS to get like saline nose spray for my son, I was like, maybe someone will recognize the podcast.
It takes a little charm out of it, though. That's all I'm saying.
Still time.
Yeah, I need some saline nose spray. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Maybe on a happier outing, someone will spot the t-shirt and be like, oh, hey, hey.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I do always reveal merch early. That is true. Sarah Schlosser. That is accurate.
Yes. Yes,
hopefully they're going to make some for you guys too.
Of your thing. Okay, so
right.
Shall we?
Shall we news?
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
You start because I'm sipping.
What, I'll go first because mine kind of segues into yours. So first of all, I just want to call the people's attention. You know, lots of back and forth about the size of the Biden administration's infrastructure plan and the human infrastructure plan and all that stuff going back and forth, $3.5 trillion, whatever. At the root of it is a discussion about how involved and what size we want the government to be as it is involved in the economy. And I would just commend to your attention, those of you who are into these kinds of things, a column by Catherine M. Pell at the Washington Post. She's a Friday regular, but before that she was writing opinion pieces for the Post. And she points out that the desire for Americans to have large government has slipped. For the first time ever, late last year, more than half of respondents, 54%, said they wanted more from their government, right? That's a majority of the American population wanting more from their government in a population that typically has been government get out of my life, right? Mostly. Mm-hmm. That has now slipped, she reports, a survey from Gallup again. It's back down to the norm of 43% want bigger and more involved government. And she points out, and I would just like to suggest that the Biden administration might want to pay attention to this. The Biden administration should review and revise its plans because the people aren't necessarily with you. A lot of what's individually in that plan is popular, but by and large, rethinking American government role in the economy is not so popular. And that's something that
interesting
people ought to pay attention to because it's because that's the crux of this thing, right?
I read a piece the other day about, I think it was like the Bulwark or something, you know, where it's sort of, it's Republicans who are like, yes, we're conservative, but we're never Trumpers.
Who are normal people.
Publication.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think it was there and it essentially said like, look, Biden came into office not expecting to have all three branches, right? Not expecting to have the Senate and the House and the White House. It was only kind of like Trump screwing up Georgia for the Republicans that handed this slim majority. And this piece suggested that as a result, then Biden got sold on this kind of go big or go home moment, right? Like, oh, this is our big chance. We should just like go crazy. I don't know. The guy's been around a long time, right? It's hard to say who gets sold on what. But it is also possible that there was some drunk on power. But the thing is, like,
totally,
it would be really interesting to see what would happen if each of these was to be were to be passed piecemeal or one at a time. It's just that that can never happen because they had to have jam it all in the one thing to make it a reconciliation package.
Right. Reconciliation, exactly.
Like, it's very possible that Americans want literally every single thing that's in this bill.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that get Congress being what it is with the filibuster, like. None of it can get passed unless it was all jammed into one big thing. It's a weird world we live in.
Hell of a way to run an economy.
Isn't it,
speaking of the economy, another piece I want to commend to all y'all's attention by another Friday Marketplace regular, Gina Smiley, who covers the Fed for the New York Times. She points out that in the inflation numbers that were out this week, the consumer price index was out on Monday, and the producer price index, which is, of course, wholesale inflation, was out on Wednesday. They were up. A lot, 5.4% for consumer price index and 8.6% for the producer price index. So that means more inflation is coming down the pike. Anyway, one key element of the CPI is rent and lodging. And the thing about rent and lodging being up so high is that elevated rents are really sticky. They tend not to go back down. Gas prices can go back down. Food prices can go back down. Rents, once they get elevated, are really sticky. And that's going to put the Fed in a jam. And it leads me to this declarative sentence. This transitory thing is bullshit.
Come on. Saying.
No.
Well, what do you mean by, like, the idea, couldn't it mean anything from 3 months to 3 years?
Yeah, it totally could. But here's the catch. What's going to happen? Everybody kept saying it's going to be transitory, right? And by everybody, I mean Jay Powell. Jay Powell says it's going to be transitory. That does not mean inflation goes away. It means the spikes go away, but the price levels stay elevated. And I don't think people are ready for that. And rent is the key example. So if prices go up 5% for 6 months in a row, and then the next month they are, you know, back down to 1% price inflation year on year, you're still stuck with that 5% bump. It's not like it goes away. It's not going back to where it was in March of 2020. And I just think people need to wrap their brains around that. Truly.
Yep.
I seriously do.
I mean, you got to admit transitory was always a weird word because by definition, like every other inflation increase has also been transitory and so has a decrease and it all goes away eventually.
The other thing that's not transitory, by the way? Yeah. The other thing that's not transitory, by the way, is the whole supply chain thing. I think the whole supply chain thing is going to be boogered up for
years.
I was down at a container depot in Long Beach this morning. Holy cow, it's a mess. Holy cow. Holy cow.
Oh, my God. So fun, though, that you're going out in the field. I love it.
It's so cool. Yeah, it's just
it's nice.
It makes it better than being in a small soundproof room. Last item for me, which leads into yours. We haven't talked about, mostly because it's not really up our alley, but kind of it is in a culture kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So Jon Gruden, longtime NFL coach, longtime commentator for ESPN, I think, on the NFL, and he's been around football for, it's got to be 45 years by now. A bunch of his emails were leaked in which he was homophobic, misogynist, racist, take your pick on all the horrible things Jon Gruden said in emails. Here's the important part. There are two important parts. Number one, more of those 650,000 emails will be leaked and we will see the dark underbelly of the NFL. But even without seeing that, you can infer that the underbelly of the NFL is dark because Gruden has been saying this stuff for a decade or more and sending these emails to other people in professional football, and nobody raised their hand and said, hey, John, stop, man.
Yeah. And why would they? Because they're all just like him at that level.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
This season, only 3 of 32 head coaches in the NFL are black.
Yeah.
There are all of those emails. I mean, we sort of just like skipped on by the fact that I don't think Gruden himself, but people on those email chains were just like sharing around topless photos of cheerleaders. In addition to everything else. Like, yeah, the best thing I ever did was quit the NFL like almost a decade ago now. I did it over domestic violence. I know, weird. And then it turned out so many other reasons not to spend my time on that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Oh, man. See, this is why you got to read the comments. I had not muted my Zoom, and so I was echoing. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
Aw.
But also...
Wow, I didn't even notice, but good catch. Sorry. Good catch,
well,
people.
Well, it wasn't me. It was the people, comments. And then it was Bridget. She was like, you're not muted. And then 2 minutes later, she was like, I got you. That's it.
Aw.
Producers. They get the job
done. See, taking care of us. Taking care of us all the time.
Always.
I have like a little trio of stories that I am going to refer to as the sister theme, the sister trend of the Great Resignation, which I'm going to be calling the Great Rebellion, because as people decide that their workplaces are unacceptable in various ways, they are either leaving or going on strike. We know that the Hollywood strike is looming. There's also in California, potentially Monday, hospital workers might go on strike because they're like, we don't have enough critical workers, nurses, technicians, janitors, Kaiser, right, which will be a huge deal. I mean, COVID isn't as bad in most of California as it is in some other states, but it's bad. And many places are, in fact, inundated. And then you have two stories in a row about, which I have been referring to all week, but just follow-up stories on these tech companies who are just like not interested in dissent. From the inside. And listen, at least in California, like all employment is at will, right? You can leave anytime you want and you can get fired anytime you want. And Apple and Netflix in particular are going ahead and taking advantage of that reality. Netflix just fired the organizer of the trans employee walkout.
I can't understand who in that company said, yes, it would be a good idea to fire this person right now.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, they've doubled down on this. Is, of course, in case you haven't been following this all week, this is, of course, in response to the Dave Chappelle special called The Closer, which has a lot of people in the trans community upset over comments that he made in that special, including some Netflix employees who spoke out about it and then organized a walkout. Netflix responses all along, I think it like let go 3 people saying that they tried to go to meetings that they weren't allowed to go to, even though these employees also happen to be trans people who spoke out against this special. It, I believe, has reinstated them, but then now fired. And by the way, the one person that they fired is the one person who's black and trans.
Right. I saw
they
that.
Accused.
Like, come on. Are you looking I guess they're looking for trouble, right?
I guess so. It's just fascinating. And then Apple is having almost the exact same response to the person who started the internal movement, hashtag Apple 2.
Yes.
Apple is making this broad move to crack down on leaks and worker organizing. They're just not having it. And so they fired this – this is astonishing – fired this person for deleting files off of her work devices during an internal investigation, which Apple categorizes as non-compliance. The files included apps like Robinhood, Pokemon Go, and Google Drive. That seems fireable. I'm sure it's unrelated to organizing a large internal protest about treatment of people at the, you know, there's another, actually, software engineer who started sharing stories about workplace harassment and discrimination on Apple and who about Apple and is now on paid medical leave as a result of receiving so much internal harassment while advocating for things like remote work and pay transparency.
So you wonder.
I mean,
how
listen,
high up
it's
in the
A response.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah, it is. It is a response. Definitely. It is, of all the responses, it is one of them. Yes, that is true. You have to wonder how high up the food chain the decision making process went. At what level did somebody say, "Yep, that's it. They're out."
Right.
I'm going to.
Oh, right.
This.
And
you know,
ACB in the YouTube points out that the person who was fired from Netflix is pregnant, also. In case you just wanted to hit the like protected class trifecta.
It's like a trifecta. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Quad, I don't
it's
even
a
know
hat trick.
It's a bunch. It's a bunch of fecta. Yeah.
And it yeah. and it just is sort of it's just very interesting to see how different companies are responding to. You look like people are unhappy. It's been a long 2 years. Some companies have handled it well. Others are have not. Others have not. There's clearly a need for change at some or all of these organizations. And the way that you respond to it says a lot about you as a company. Maybe there will never be any consequences for Apple and Netflix, but I would imagine there will be people who don't want to work there anymore as a result of these actions.
And this goes back to what you were saying yesterday. You have had an incredibly insightful week from the, you know, are we a country that wants to do the work to the whole yesterday thing of the primacy of work in so many people's lives to which I will absolutely plead guilty. That's changed. That dynamic has changed. You know, mm-hmm. people have realized that work ain't it. Life is life, and also life is short. So do what you want.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then go anyway. Loud and proud. I mean, when these people are getting fired, yeah. they're just coming out swinging.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, people have just had it. Thank you, by the way, for that compliment. You made me blush.
Oh, well, no. It's real. I mean, look, it's. Anyway.
Anyway, yes. Netflix, as Andy says, believes okay. it's too big to be held accountable. Every company does at this point,
yeah,
I guess.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Including, you know, a bunch that... anyway, go ahead, shall we?
Yeah, let's play a game. Let's play a game.
All right, let's play a game. You know what happens when it gets hot down here? The mosquitoes come back out, and I've got mosquitoes swarming around in my shed here. Anyway, so, I know. Half full, half empty. Our predictions on various topics. Drew Jostad is our host today, I believe, although there was a head fake last week, so who the hell knows what's going to happen now?
I heard him.
What did I just say? Did you? All right. Okay.
Sorry to disappoint. It's me.
Yay!
Are you half full or half empty on adaptive reuse?
Adaptive reuse.
Meaning,
this sounds like a circular economy thing to
converting,
me. Converting, which I think I'm into.
Office space to apartments.
Oh, smart. Yeah. That's genius. We need so much more housing. Genius, 100% full, all the way full. That is super smart. I didn't even know this is like an actual phrase that refers to the process of reusing an existing building. Specifically, it's not like broad. It's all about buildings for a purpose other than which it was originally built or designed. It is also known as recycling and conversion.
The YouTube chat is, they are up on this. They know. They didn't even need your duck going.
I know. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, definitely half full. That's fantastic. And if you can turn it into housing, super. And it would be in places that, like, the kids want to live. It's downtown. It's close to urban centers. It's probably close to transit. Brilliant. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's just change everything.
Sarah Schlosser, with her second mention in the pod today, I converted my apartment to an office in the pandemic. LOL. I mean, that's a fair point. Anyway, Drew, go.
Genius. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Half full or half empty on fast food drive-through AI.
So this was so interesting. This was a piece Matt Levin did talking about, was it like Wendy's working with Google to get AI going into your drive-through and how basically Wendy's is going to know what you want before you get there, which is number one, really convenient, but number two, slightly terrifying because it's all about AI and voice recognition and pattern recognition and all of this predictive stuff that is coming, and we're going to have to get used to it, but still kind of scary. So I'm a little bit on it.
I'm half empty on this. I think this is like exactly the kind of thing that, you know, there's like a tendency to slap a little AI on it, and then it's like new and cool and whatever. But the truth is that it's just not good enough now to be seamless enough to be anything but annoying. Because if you went there and you ordered for your friend or your kid, and then you're there to order for yourself and your history is blah, 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 that's not going to work. And then it's going to be only a matter of time before they're like, oh, if we just, you know, took pictures of the cars and the people in the race and it's like there's a data disaster waiting to happen. Like, this is not what people need AI for.
No, and it's the whole facial recognition thing is it's racially fraught, and I mean the whole deal. So, yeah, no.
It's literally like and it just means can we order fewer people or hire fewer people, which to be
honest.
Hire
fewer people, right. Exactly. It's a labor.
It sounds like people at this point would be fine with that. So if it's people are like, yeah, I don't want to get yelled at McDonald's anymore. So go crazy with your AI.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Next.
Half empty. Next.
Okay. Half full or half empty. Best Buy getting into home health care industry.
Home health care?
We all need health care? I don't know. I mean, is this like Walmart setting up a clinic in the corner? You know.
Best Buy has purchased a care at home tech platform called Current Health, which gives healthcare organizations insight into people's health.
I'm sorry to laugh. You know what I love? You know what
makes
I love
no
about this segment? Those moments where you and I both go, what?
I know. We're like, what?
I don't know.
Current health,
everybody needs healthcare. It's kind of a bummer. There's a profit motive, but okay.
Why Best Buy? It is not Best Buy's first foray.
Don Bachmeyer, I assume selling wearables, he says in the YouTube chat. That's probably close.
I would have thought so, but only kind of. They say it is a way to pry open new revenue streams, focusing on RPM, like this kind of can help them diversify revenue streams and plant a flag in the quickly growing digital health market. There probably is a wearable component. I'm sure there's like a degree of selling some gadgets that go along with this. Remote patient monitoring does seem to suggest devices. So, I don't know. Sure,
Bridget,
you do you.
And Marissa and Stephen Bion and Emily McCune and Grace, do you suppose they sit there when they're putting this together and they say, here's one they're not going to know. Let's put this one
in. This is going to stump them.
Sorry.
I'm much more half full on Best Buy taking all kinds of e-waste. I'm delighted that I can take all my electronics recycling to them. I'm a little half empty on them getting into remote patient monitoring. I don't think I feel good about that.
Yep.
Stay in your lane, Best Buy.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
All right, we're going to continue with fast food here. Half full or half empty on the McPlant.
Oh.
Yep, all the way full on that. Yep, right on the McPlant.
It's got to happen. It's got to happen. I have not yet done the taste test thing that Molly did with her family about ordering a, Impossible Burger and a, Wendy's burger side by side. But yeah, it has to happen. It truly just has to happen. All full.
It really does. My only complaint about this is them calling it the McPlant, which I feel like is just going to make you feel like an idiot for ordering it. Like it feels like it's a smart market decision and also subtle shade. Do you want the McHippie?
right.
With a side of not real meat frosty. Yeah. I guess that's Wendy's.
Yeah.
So I'm half full on yes to meat replacements. Let's do this. And I'm a little half empty on the name.
There you go. What Molly said.
All right. Decorating trees for Halloween.
Hard pass. Half empty. Fully and completely. Full stop.
I want to be. My mom does this. She literally has like
Halloween?
Yeah, my mom is a little bonkers when it comes to decorating things, and she has like 12 fake trees that she puts up all around the house, and one of them is a black tree that she is just looks really cool when you put like white lights and snow on it and stuff, but then she puts it up early and decorates it with Halloween decorations. Trees are like all-purpose furniture for decoration. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little bonkers hoarder. All due respect to my mom, who's recovering nicely, by the way.
Thank you for throwing in the recovering thing. I was wondering.
Well, I'm not going to lie. When she does it up, it looks kind of awesome. Oh, God, I'm half full.
It's a little weird. Oh, wow. Okay, well.
I love decor.
Yes, you do. We've been there.
I'm my mom.
And that's it. We go out on Halloween trees. And other things you didn't know you needed to know on this podcast. Exactly. All right, we are done for today. We are so, and I mean this, we are so appreciative that all y'all are here and you stick around for whatever it is that Molly and I have to say. If you think of something you want to tell us or ask us or share with us over the weekend, you can email us, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Leave us a voice memo if you want. Our phone number is 508-827-6278. 508-UB-SMART. Call us up.
Please do. And subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Leave us a review and tell your friends.
Yeah.
Because our producers are working hard over here, even if we're not. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered and co-hosted by Drew Jostad. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
The team behind the YouTube live stream and our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Stephen Beyond, Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, and Mel Rosenberg. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by the one and only Drew Jostad. The interim executive director of On Demand is Donna Tan. Donna Tan.
Ooh, Michael says in India you can get the Maharaja Mac, choose veg or chicken at McDonald's, the Makalu Tiki potato patty, yum. McSpicy paneer cheese patty, yum.
Oh, I'd
go
for
to India McDonald's.
Right,
this all sounds amazing. And the masala grilled veg.
I so want to go to India. I so want to go to India. I should just... Yeah.
Do it!
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.